Talk to me no matter what you feel. Hi, my name's Scott Anderson, and you've reached my podcast. As always, I'm sponsored by two wonderful sponsors, the first being Creative Technology and Innovation. Creative Technology and Innovation was originally founded to help fund the Society of Dead Teachers. There was a significant cost in generating the Kindle the Flame journal that was distributed to around 100 members at its peak. The subscription cost never equaled the cost of production. So CTI was created to help offset some of that cost. Creative Technology and Innovation, an organization devoted to helping companies make better decisions. And of course, my other sponsor, Danny and the Corporate Ladder, a novel about a good guy. And of course, a novel about imagination and just what will happen when you believe. Danny and the Corporate Ladder, available now as an ebook, paperback book, and as an audiobook, wherever you find books that you want to consume. Danny and the Corporate Ladder. So today, I'm going to publish a LinkedIn article later on today, probably, maybe tomorrow. I don't know. I haven't really decided yet. There's not quite the incentive to get things out early because I don't have to wait for Hub Pages editors to willy-nilly pick or not pick or choose or not choose or not decide on what articles were going to be featured or not. So because I don't have to worry about that, then I can take a little bit more time and put out things that are interesting to me. They aren't always things that are interesting to other people, but it's okay. It's all about what I'm trying to convey into the world, not necessarily what I'm trying to tell people, but what I'm just trying to share. For me, writing is a thinking process. I get ideas and concepts and processes in my head, and I go through them, right? I kind of wander through them to figure out, okay, what is it? What's going to happen, right? What's next? What's the art of the possible here? What can I do? How can I do it? And in the concept of how can I do it, you know, what am I going to do, right? So that's kind of the way I look at writing, the way I've always done writing. So to me, it becomes an interesting process of trying to figure out, you know, what exactly is it that I'm trying to say, and then go from there. I've found over the years that sometimes when I'm writing, I have a very clear thesis, a very clear idea, concept, thesis for the article. And sometimes I don't have a great thesis. I have a mediocre average thesis and, you know, I try to build on it, but I don't always do well. It's a learning process for me. I take information and I try to pull it through. This weekend I was working on a bunch of minor projects, trying to finish them up, trying to get things together. I'm making a big push here soon to get the basement done. I'm at a point now where I can't do the rest of the things that have to be done. It's just not stuff that I can sort through and effectively find a place to clean up. So instead, I decided to go through my old tech stuff and start getting rid of things. So I got rid of literally another half a carload of Goodwill stuff, and I have another half a carload this weekend, trying to just, you know, downsize, get rid of stuff, move forward and kind of get to where I have less things. Obviously, the other thing is that, you know, spring is right around the corner, and went on my usual long weekend walk. Puck and I usually walk, you know, longer on the weekends than we do during the week. And, you know, on the weekend this week, you know, he and I were out, and, you know, obviously we got to meet one of his buddies. He has three dogs that he just absolutely loves. He's a funny little man, though. He will not make friends with a dog that barks at him. So if a dog barks at him, he remembers that, and he doesn't make friends with that dog, which is interesting, because one of the dogs that my daughter has, it has barked at him repeatedly, and he just ignores it and tries to be her friend. But that's a family dog, and he is a very family-focused creature. He
his family is the most important thing to him. So having his family and having that that connection to him is more important than, you know, it is to many other dogs. He's not as food-centric a Labrador. It's kind of interesting to see a Labrador that's not food-centric. He loves food, don't get me wrong. I mean, he's happy to get food when he's allowed to, but he's not someone that's going to go out of his way to say, okay, I need food now, right? He'll happily wait his turn, which is, you know, really kind of interesting. I've never seen a Labrador that's quite that, you know, chill with food. Usually Labradors are right in your face. Hey, I haven't eaten today. By the way, it's well past snack time. So it's kind of interesting. Every single dog you bring into your life, you know, changes your life. They make things better. They make things interesting, but they also make things different. And it's important to allow the dog to have its path, its model, its ability to deal with the things that it needs to deal with, but at the same time to have something else, right? You need to have that sense of a broader family. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of rescue dogs. I will give a shout out to the Labrador Rescue of Virginia and Maryland. They're a great organization. You know, I give money to them every year. I can honestly say they are. They're an amazing organization. We have gone to them now 3 times for dogs. Dylan, who is still with us. Raven, whom we sadly lost last year in February. And then Pot. And in each of the 3 cases, you know, the coordinator talked to us about what are you looking for, right? What do you need in a dog? What makes you happy when it comes to having a dog in your family? And in all 3 cases, they have just done a bang bang job. You know, Dylan was the perfect dog. Raven was the perfect addition to the family, and Puck is the perfect addition to the family. You know, Dylan is a lot more chill, a lot more, you know, laid back. Raven was a lot more food assertive than any dog we've ever had other than her. And then Puck is kind of a mix of insanity and chill. So it's always interesting, but I do give a shout out to the Lab Rescue of Maryland. They're a phenomenal organization. You know, if you get a chance and you want to get a dog in your house, you know, go to the shelter, go to a rescue org, because those dogs, first of all, are going to be loyal to you no matter what, because they've been through a horrible situation. But it's also important to remember that if we can, as human beings, remove the pain of other human beings, which is what happens to dogs. They are treated horribly in a number of situations. And in that treatment, in that horrible situation, you know, they don't get a bad view of people, right? A dog that's abused, that, you know, finds a home full of love, doesn't abuse, right? Now, human beings struggle with that, and that's a line that humans often don't understand, but the reality is dogs don't do that. Dogs forget, right? They forget and forgive. So anyway, enough on dogs. Heading into baseball season, the Cubs are doing pretty well in spring baseball, which always scares me, because when the Cubs do well in spring baseball, it usually means it's not going to be a great year in the regular season. You know, there's 162 games in a baseball season, and, you know, normally throughout most of my life, not in 2017, but since 2017, they've actually been, you know, in the hunt at least to have a shot at the playoffs. But, you know, from 2014 all the way back, you know, into the 70s when I really started paying attention, you know, to Cubbies baseball a lot. You know, late 60s, early 70s, I was a huge Cubs fan. You know, they've traditionally been eliminated from playoff contention by June, July at the latest. So it's been nice to, you know, to actually have an opportunity to root for late season baseball. But, you know, the other side of it is, it's just, you know, losing is painful. And I hate it when the teams that I love lose, but, you know, I understand it's a competition, it's a sport, and you play your best, right? You do the best you can. So at least I'm excited. I will watch the occasional Cubs game. I don't watch as much baseball, honestly, since the steroid scandal what was that now? Probably 15 years ago, 18, 20 years ago now. Since that scandal, I've really stopped watching baseball as much as I used to, in part because so many baseball players stood there and said, you know, you're being offensive by asking me that question. You know, how dare you accuse me of using steroids? And then, you know, they were all found guilty in a court of law of, you know, possessing, using, and purchasing steroids. And it's like, you know, go away, right? I don't trust you anymore. I don't want anything to do with you. You're no longer, you know, somebody that I respect. And I lost a lot of respect for baseball in the steroid scandal. And I don't know. I just never came back. I just never picked up baseball again. Football is around. UFL, the new unified league, which represents both of the previous spring leagues. So I probably will watch a little bit of that, maybe the occasional game. The NCAA men's tournament is coming up in basketball, which I'm probably not going to watch, but I am going to watch the women's tournament. IU is a 4 seed, so that's exciting. We'll have a chance to see how well the Hoosiers do in the postseason. My name is Scott Anderson. You've reached my podcast. Thank you so much for listening.